We are so happy to have everyone on the call today, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. You are very honored and your distinguished guest of our call, and we appreciate you being on this morning. And to those of our brothers and sisters across the nation who may be joining us from other congregations, we are excited to have you on the call as well. For those who are visiting, we want you to know that in the Churches of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. And we also believe that God had done his part and that he gave his only son. His son came, hung on the cross, and shed his blood and washed our sins away in baptism and purchased his church, his bride, the only church you read about in the Bible, that is the Church of Christ. And that's the only one we'll ever preach about. And so we're thankful that you're on. We pray that you too will obey that gospel and be born again of the water and of the Spirit, that the Lord may add you to his body, the church. Now, this morning we're going to start our study of the book of Acts. And I've chosen Acts because with the COVID-19 and all that's going on in the world, we need to do a whole lot of things to help save souls, also to restore our brothers and sisters outside of the body of Christ who have left the church, those who have not been faithful. We want you to come home. And so this is a time that God is doing something in this world. When you see so much going on, as we are seeing with the pandemic and all the fires and hurricanes and all this stuff, we ought to be thinking about what's life all about. Are we serious about our salvation, our soul salvation? And as a church, we ought to make known the manifold wisdom of God. The Spirit and the Bride says, come, meaning the Holy Spirit has given us the word, and the church is to teach the gospel. The Great Commission given to us by Jesus was to go into the world and preach the gospel. So I'm encouraging you to invite your friends, family, loved ones to hear a study from the book of Acts. It's the book of conversions. And this book is written by Luke, the physician, as well. And it was around AD 64, AD 70 time frame. It records all the acts and the things that were done by the apostles, which that's why it's called the book of Acts. Now, this is the world's first book on the history and the beginning of the Church of Christ, which was established in Jerusalem. This is the first written book of what happened after Jesus died and what immediately happened in the history. This history book contains no errors, and it is God's account of the beginning of the kingdom of the church on earth. This book teaches what the apostles taught men to do in the first century to be saved and to become Christian. Now, this book, the book of Acts, contains the account of over 9,000 people. Listen carefully now. 9,000 souls, 3,000 on just one day, being saved, but they were all saved the same way. What did they do? They believed after the apostles preached them about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, about his suffering on the cross. They believed it, and they were baptized, every one of them, in the name of Jesus Christ, or as commanded by Jesus. And he gave this great commission, and it's found in Mark 16:15-16, where he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, this is called the Great Commission. So the apostles would carry out this Great Commission, and we too, as a church, are commanded to continue to carry out this commission even up today. That's why we're doing this study. We're doing the gospel meeting. We're making an impact across this nation. We're trying to baptize as many people as we can. Why? That's the only way they're going to ever be saved. That's the only way they're going to ever be saved. If you're on the call today, you have not been baptized. Well, perhaps you were baptized, but you're not in the true church. You're not in the one church. You didn't obey the truth. You're not saved. You're not saved, no. So we're not preaching anything that you hear modern-day preachers preach, as such as sinner's prayer or the sprinkling baptism or, you know, these type of things. Call on the name of the Lord. Accept him as your personal Savior. All the stuff that Billy Graham and his son and all them teach. Nobody was saved like that in the book of Acts. Now, that ought to tell us something. Nobody was sprinkled with no water. No one went to the altar except that Jesus, personal Savior. No one said, Lord, I'm a sinner, come into my heart. Not one person, listen carefully, not one person was saved in the book of Acts by doing those things. It's all a ring, a bell, right? Because the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. Somebody said, boy, all these people are dying, yeah, but you don't understand that? Who appoints that death? Who appoints that death? COVID doesn't appoint the death. God appoints death. It's appointed unto man once to die. Yeah, God determines that. And so here's what we need to understand. Death has a purpose, and the purpose is to bring to our attention that we too would die. It's called the house of mourning. It's given to us, Ecclesiastes 7, chapter 7, just read it. It's telling us what the purpose of death is. So our time now is to do what the apostles did in the book of Acts. So let's look at what they done in the book of Acts to teach and save people. We'll be doing this for a while. So just start in chapter 1, just read along as we go and follow along and take notes. It'll be a good time for your members. Take notes, and when we finish, you have all your notes on the book of Acts. That's a good way to do it. Just go ahead and follow me verse by verse and write down what I'm telling you, and you'll have you some notes to go back to. Now let's start at verse 1. And verse 1, this sermon is entitled, This Same Jesus. This Same Jesus. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible said, the former treatises have I made, O Theophilus, all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Now, there's a former treatise, a letter, meaning a letter, Luke wrote to Theophilus, is what we know as the book of Luke. Now, in Luke 1, in verse 3, he said, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. So that's how we know it was, he had wrote the first one to him, is the book of Acts. Now, Theophilus was obviously a friend and companion of Luke. In his first letter, the Gospel of Luke, he told him of all that Jesus began to do and teach. So he was relaying this information on what he knew about Jesus and what Jesus taught and what he did while he was living on the earth. Now, in verse 2, so Luke is a writer of Acts. So he's guided by the Holy Spirit. Remember that. He's writing. The Holy Spirit is guiding him to write these things that he's recording. Now, in verse 2, he said, all that Jesus began to do and teach. Then he said, verse 2, until the day when he was taken up. So he taught all the way until he went back. He was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now, notice this. He gave commandments. The Holy Spirit was involved as well. And so when we look at this, Luke told him everything about Jesus until his ascension. He told him about his life. He told him about his death. He told him about his burial. He told him about his resurrection. He told him about the miracles and things he done. Now in chapter 1, he speaks of his ascension, or the day he was taken up. He also talks about the command that the Holy Spirit and him and Jesus gave the chosen apostles. Now, he said, through the Holy Spirit, Jesus received a spirit without measure. And the Spirit working with him, he told him he was going to leave them a comforter, which would be the Holy Spirit. John 16:13, he said, well, how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, shall come, he will guide you in all truth. So he was talking to his apostles. Also, he left them in John 20:22, you'll notice something interesting happened. He said, when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. So there was a measure of the Holy Spirit right there in that before they're going to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's upcoming. But you see, the Spirit were working with God. The Spirit, you got the Father, you got the Son, and you got the Holy Spirit. All are working together to save the world. That's what they're doing. And they're still doing that. Now, the commandments are all from Jesus considered the New Testament. It's called the doctrine of Christ. 2 John verse 9, the Bible says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. So it's the doctrine of Christ. He that abideth in the doctrine or the teachings of Christ have both the Father and the Son. That's why today men must obey Christ. the gospel. They must obey because it's a commandment from God. Jesus left the command to the apostles to preach it, and men and women must obey that gospel. He also told them in Luke 24:49, after he gave the commission, he said, now I want you guys to go to Jerusalem. I'll send the promise of my Father upon you. He said, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. So there's a command he gave specifically to his apostles. Now, we don't have to talk about that because you got these false apostles and things that we have today call themselves apostles. I'm going to prove without a shadow of a doubt there are no apostles living today. If anyone just use common sense, there's no way they could be living. I'll get to that shortly in the next lesson probably. So let's go to verse 3. Luke said, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. To whom? To whom here in this verse is he speaking of the apostles. He showed himself alive with infallible or meaning convincing or undeniable truths. Now, it was him. He was proving he had been resurrected from the dead to his apostles. Now, he was with the apostles about 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom, which is the church, Matthew 16:13-19, Colossians 1:13. We look at that. He was speaking to them about the kingdom, which is the church. And so you got to understand that Jesus came to start a kingdom. They were thinking of earthly kingdom, but he was talking about his church. He was talking about the church. So you start looking at that, you got to understand what Jesus was telling them to do. He gave them the scripture. The Holy Spirit guided them to write it. And so they had to follow his teaching. They had to be taught by him. And when you look at Colossians chapter 1, Paul then repeats chapter 1 and verse 13. Paul said this in chapter 1, verse 13, he said, who has delivered us, let's go back to verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, verse 13, who has delivered us, notice this, from the power of darkness, of Satan, and translated us, where? Into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So he was preaching. As he said in Acts 1:33, he's speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, and being assembled together with them, talk about the apostles. This is important. I'm going to reemphasize who he's talking directly to. He's with the apostles, commanding them, who the apostles, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said he have heard of me. Now, he's assembled with them, talking about the apostles, speaking with them. He commands them to not leave Jerusalem. He commands them to wait for this promise of the Father. Now, in Acts 1:5, he says, here it is. For John truly baptized with water. Watch this now. But ye, talking about the apostles, shall be baptized, what? With the Holy Ghost. See that? Not many days hence. So he told them there's going to be a baptism of the Holy Spirit that was going to happen to who? The apostles. Now, nobody today gets this baptism. Let's make that real clear. Doesn't matter what the Pentecostals say. They're not baptized with the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to deal with all the tongue speaking, all the false doctrine over people telling you you got to speak in tongues. All that's coming in Acts 1 and 2. We're going to talk about all that. We're going to kill all this Pentecostal teaching that's in error. Pentecost was a day. It was not a church. It was a day. It was a day of Pentecost. We'll get to that. But the point I'm making here is that the emphasis must be placed here in order for you to understand who's going to get this baptism. See, the promise that they were to wait for this baptism, we today are baptized in water for the forgiveness or the remission of sins. We're going to see in Acts 2 in verse 38 that the people who actually killed Jesus murdered him on the cross, asked Peter, said, Peter, what shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins. And then he said, they that gladly received his word were baptized. About 3,000 souls were baptized. But that's different from what the apostles got. See, these people who had to be baptized were baptized in water for the remission of sins. As we find in Acts 8, the eunuch was baptized in water for the remission of sins. So we know baptism is in water today. The apostles, now, there's a difference between the gift of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we say, well, Brother Brooks, when we get baptized, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we do. What is the gift? In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the Bible said the wages of sin, what sin would do is bring spiritual death. I mean, what is death? Death is a separation. So when you have sin in your life, or you're living in sin, you're separated from God. That's why he said your sins, if you die your sins, why am you can't come? The Lord's hand is not short that he can't save, neither is your hand that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. That's a separation here. And your sins, watch this, have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So we need to lock in on this belief. Now, if you believe the Bible, you must also believe if you're living in sin, your prayers are not going through. That your prayers are not being heard. Not that he can't. It's just the sins have separated you. So that's spiritual death. So that's why it says the wages of sin is spiritual death, spiritual separation from God. But then there's a gift. But the gift of God is eternal life. Now, the Holy Spirit is not the gift. The gift that comes with obeying the Holy Spirit is eternal life. That's why Jesus said, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. John chapter 3, 5 and the rest of the verses. And then also, when you look at Jesus' teachings there, he's teaching them that the Spirit was going to do some things that we need to understand when we get baptized. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 and 13, he talks about, verse 13, he talks about how by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, which is the church. You know, I want you visitors to listen carefully. If you obey the Spirit that gave us the Word of God, the Spirit gave us the Bible. He tells us, he's guiding us through the Spirit. The Spirit is guiding us what we must do to be saved. So what one must do according to what the Spirit has given us is be baptized. Then when they're baptized, then they're by one Spirit are we all baptized into one church. So if you are not in the one church, then you didn't get the one baptism that the Spirit has taught us about in the Scripture. You got to understand that. So I said, well, brother, I've been baptized 4 times. You can be baptized 10 times wrong. There's only one right one. The one right one is when you say, I'm a member of the Church of Christ. You got the right baptism at that point. You didn't get it. If you're on this call, you had other baptism, you're not saved. You said, brother, you hurt my feelings. Well, maybe I need to hurt your feelings. Maybe you need to marry. I'd rather hurt your feelings now. I mean, I'd rather hurt you now when you got a chance to save yourself rather than see you die like that. Yeah, when would you rather hurt you now or later? Well, if I say I love you and I'm doing this preaching that I'm doing to save souls, then I have to teach you the truth and you have to obey the truth. Yeah, it's up to you. It's up to every individual. God's not going to make us obey the truth. You're going to have to do it because you believe it. You believe it. If you believe this book, then you'll believe in one church. You'll believe in one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God. And you know what? The believers don't question that. They just say, I believe it. Unbelievers question the Bible. Unbelievers are in trouble. They're not going to obey the truth. Until you become a believer of the Bible, you're not going to obey the truth. Why? Because you don't believe. Should I say that again? Because you're not a believer. Well, I believe in Jesus. Just believing in Jesus is not enough. Don't you know the devil believed and trembled? They're not saved. Just believing in Jesus is not enough. You got to believe and obey. Though he was a son, Hebrews 5:8, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Being made perfect, he became, notice this, the author of eternal salvation to one group of people. He said, all them that obey him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, the Bible said, to you who are troubled, rest with us, and the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with mighty angels in flaming fire. Notice this, taking vengeance on them that, number one, know not God. You can't know him if you haven't obeyed him. Number two, that obey not the gospel. You're not going to ever know him if you don't obey the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, it's the good news of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. How do you obey a story? Well, you obey it by being baptized. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Listen to this. Paul said, know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ and baptized into his death, there is a death. Therefore, we are buried. There is a burial with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. Look at that. So baptism is a death, a burial, and a resurrection. Okay. Now, when you understand that, then you want to obey truth, so you can get the gift, which is eternal life. This is my emphasis right now. I'm talking about what do we get? The apostles got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We take baptism in water, and we receive the eternal life based on obedience to God's will. Now, let's go back to Acts. In verse 5, John truly baptized with water. He's talking, he's distinguishing the difference between the baptism that John did and baptism that they're going to get, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit means the same thing. Now, Jesus told them that in John 16:13, the Spirit of truth would come and guide them into all the truth. Now, they are in Mount Olive, but on their way to Jerusalem. The prophets mentioned Jerusalem as the place. And Isaiah 2, listen to this now. This prophesied that in Jerusalem some things would happen. Isaiah 2, 2, Bible says, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. And all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path, for out of Zion shall go forth the law, watch this now, and the word of the Lord from where? Jerusalem. So something's going on in Jerusalem. He told them to go to Jerusalem. You stay there and you wait. In Luke 24:44, he said this. Jesus told them, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, notice this, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Verse 45. Then he opened their understanding, talking about his apostles and disciples, that they might understand what? The scriptures. And he said unto them, thus is it written, and thus it behooves Christ to suffer. This is important now. He's letting them know that I'm going to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. As the death, burial, and resurrection he's talking about. But it was going to be a suffering death. This is what a lot of people leave out. See, you say, I love Jesus, then you got to love him because he suffered for you. God gave his only son to suffer in Jerusalem for you and I. And he said in verse 47, I will suffer and repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. Know where it's going to start at. Beginning at Jerusalem. Watch what he's called. Now, ye are witnesses. They're going to see this. They're going to be eyewitnesses. They're going to be witnesses of these things that happen in Jerusalem. Now, this is what he's telling us about. Now, I know there are some, they call themselves the Jehovah's Witnesses. There are no witnesses still living. That's not true. There's no true witnesses today. They all dead. They're like, ain't no apostles. They all dead too. So, you know, you can just use some common sense. Those folks got to be 2,000 years old to be an apostle. But there's no witnesses that was there that day either that are still living. See, you had to be with Christ in Jerusalem to be an apostle. More coming on that next week. And I'm going to prove that. I'm talking about more about the qualifications of an apostle in this chapter. But these men were in Jerusalem for a reason, to receive the promise of and baptism of the Holy Spirit, to begin the preaching of the gospel. See, they could not preach the death, burial, and resurrection until after it was the death, burial, and resurrection. See, so it did happen after Jesus resurrected from the grave. There was no gospel that they were to preach until that actually happened. So now they can start telling them. But they began preaching the gospel and keeping the Great Commission, and they could not begin their preaching until after they had received this promise of this power from on high. And we will see that this happened in chapter 2. Look at verse 6 now. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? See that word kingdom coming up again? The apostles asked Christ, saying, Lord, will you restore again the kingdom of Israel? The apostles were thinking that Christ was going to start this earthly kingdom where he would be a king over an earthly kingdom. But Christ was speaking of a spiritual kingdom, which we call the church. Now, in verse 7, he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. But ye shall receive power, watch this, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. They would not have the power till this Holy Spirit baptism take place. And then ye shall be witness unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and other parts of the world. They would go back and tell the story. Here's the lesson. God has given us in the scriptures what he wants us to know, no more and no less. Here's the thing. In Deuteronomy 29:29, the Bible said, a secret thing belong to the Lord our God. Those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. Even the apostles would not fully understand their mission until after they had received the power, the promise of the Holy Spirit. They would not. So he told them, you wait, and when this happens, after you get the power, then you can start talking about it. Now, in verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, he talked to them, while they beheld, what they mean, look, he was taken up. So you got to visualize it. He's standing there talking to them, and then all of a sudden he's taken up, and a cloud, one cloud, received him out of their sight. What a sight that must have been for the apostles. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, looking up at him, he went up. It's called the ascension. Behold, it says, look, two men stood by them in white apparel. So these are angels standing by them. Which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing in the heaven? Why y'all looking like you shocked? This same Jesus, this is where I get my towel right here. This same Jesus that is taken up from you into heaven. He's taken up from you, specifically talking to him, into heaven, shall so come in a like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So where did he go? Heaven. Where did he go when he died? Paradise. Remember what he told the thief? Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. You remember that? So when he died, he went to paradise. Then he came back and appeared to his apostles and many others. And he then, now, this is, remember, he told Mary. He told Mary, she said, touch me not, because I have not ascended to my Father. So he never went back to heaven until this moment here. Now he's back on the right hand of the Father. But he's coming back one day. This same Jesus. This was the day he was taken up. But those angels reminded him. He reminded them then, and I'm reminding us. I'm reminding us. One day, y'all, he's coming back. Just like he left on a cloud. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says he cometh with a cloud, with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And also they which pierced him, and all kindreds of earth shall wail because of him. A cloud received him, a cloud will come back on. He's coming with clouds, plural this time, coming back. Only his children, notice this now, will join him in the clouds. Now, everyone turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13 through 18 as we come to a close for today's lesson. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul writes to the Thessalonians. He said, why would I have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, meaning the dead, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope? He said, don't be ignorant about those who died in the Lord and gone on. Sorrow not if they died in the Lord. That's the key here. But if they didn't die in the Lord, they died outside of the Lord, they have no hope. There is no hope for those who die outside of the Lord. There's no hope for people who don't get baptized. There's no hope for those who are outside of the church of Christ. That should be made clear as you're listening to me. So if you, what are you saying, brother? He said, blessed are they that die in the Lord. To die in the Lord is to die in his body. To die in his body is to die in his church. And so the Lord added to the church, Acts 2:47, daily such as being such as should be saved. So the saved are in the church. So if you die outside the church, you're not going to be saved. Now, that's what John wrote in Revelation 14:13. The voice, he said, I heard a voice saying to me, write, blessed are they or the dead which die in the Lord. Henceforth, yes, yea, said the Spirit. Who said it? The Spirit. They may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. There's only rest to those who obey the Spirit. When do we obey the Spirit? When you obey what's in the Bible, you're obeying what the Spirit gave us. That's when you obey him. You got to do it the way God said do it. This blessing, a spiritual blessing, you all, is only to those who are faithful members of the Church of Christ. I'll put emphasis on that as well, because you can be a member of the Church of Christ but not be a faithful member of the Lord's church, meaning that you are not worshiping, you're not giving, you're not taking communion every Sunday, you're not assembling, you're not hearing the word, you're not living in life. In other words, you're living in sin. So therefore, you're not going to be saved if you die. So does this apply to members of the Church of Christ? Absolutely. So if you're on the call today, that same Jesus is coming back. This same Jesus is going to come back. He left as our Savior. He's coming back as a judge. Here's the thing. He's coming to his church. He's going to take them back to the Father. In 1 Corinthians 15:24, talks about how he's going to put down all rule and authority. Watch what he says now. Watch this now. In 1 Corinthians 15:24, he says this. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up, when he's taken back, the kingdom to God. Who? To who? God. Even the Father. Now watch what happens. When he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. For he must reign till he have put all enemies under his feet. Lord is the last enemy that shall be destroyed in death. There will be no more death after these come back. Everybody will have an eternal life, either damnation or being saved. That's what Jesus said in Mark 16, 15. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. But notice what he said. He that believeth not shall be damned. What do you mean? You didn't believe. You didn't believe you had to be baptized. You didn't believe in the one church. You didn't believe in taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday. You didn't believe you had to go to worship. You didn't believe you had to give away. You just didn't believe you had to do these things, so you're not going to be saved. So you say, well, brother, what are you saying? Hell, you understand what I said. That's exactly what I said. That's real simple. I'm saying it's so simple. You can't miss this unless something wrong with your mind. I don't think it is. When you look at the Bible, Paul is telling the Thessalonians, don't y'all be ignorant about this concerning them which are asleep. He said, don't sorrow about that. Even as others which have no hope. And then in verse 14, I'm closed. For if we believe that Jesus, watch this, died and rose again. He said, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive, he's talking about when he's coming back, and remain unto the coming of the Lord. The same Jesus is coming. Paul is telling them, those of us who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, dead. For the Lord himself, he getting ready to nail it, shall descend. So when he went up, he ascended that day. Now Paul says he's going to descend, which means he's going to come from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. It's going to be a loud announcement. With the trump of God. And the dead in Christ. Notice who's getting up first. Shall rise first. This is one time you want to be in first class section. Because they getting up. That's comforting. To know our loved ones who died in the Lord are going to get up. They're getting up. And then we, which are alive, remain. So if he came back today, those of us who were alive remain. The dead would get up for it. Then those who are living, alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them. Notice we're about in the clouds to meet the Lord. Where? In the air. And so shall we be ever with the Lord. Don't this kind of look like what them possibly looking at when he went back up? And so Paul said, I'll tell y'all what, go ahead and comfort one another with this, knowing that those who died in the Lord, your loved ones who died in the Lord. He said, hey, we're going to get caught up with them together to meet the Lord in there and shall ever be with the Lord. That's so beautiful. And he said, you know what, comfort one another with these words. You know, in John chapter 14, go to the text there, John chapter 14, we always read that. People read it at funerals and things. But this Jesus is talking about that day right here. Let not your heart be troubled, he says. You believe in God, believe also in me. Notice it. In my Father's house are many mansions. There's a dwelling place. If you were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where is he at? On the right hand of the Father. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether that goeth. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way. The same Jesus, here, I'm closing my letters. The same Jesus, he said, I am the way. The same Jesus is the way. The same Jesus is the truth, and the same Jesus is the life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Life. No man, nobody will come to the Father but by me. Nobody can get to this same Jesus that I'm preaching about this morning is the same Jesus that's coming back. The same Jesus is the way to be saved. The same Jesus is nothing but truth. He's truth, and he gives eternal life. And can't nobody go to heaven without obeying Jesus. So if you want to call today, my question to you is this. What part of my lesson did you not understand? Because this same Jesus you said you believe in, this is a call for people who believe in Jesus Christ. I mean, we're Christians. We believe in Christ. We don't believe in Buddha, Muhammad, none of that. We believe in Christ. So if you say you believe in Christ, then you say you're a Christian. Then why haven't you done what he said do? Because you just want to be a Christian your way, huh? But Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. And it was him who said, remember this now. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way to lead to destruction. You can do what you want to do. But in verse 14 he says this. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. And few there be that find it. The only people going to find truth is people who are looking for truth. John 4:23, the Bible said, Jesus said this. The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Why? For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is seeking those who want to be true worshipers. And only when you're seeking to be a true worshiper will you find that straight and narrow way. This same Jesus. Luke wrote about him to Theophilus. He told him about his life. He told him about the miracles he'd done. Told him about all the things Jesus did, how he healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, walked on water. Jesus calmed the raging seas, the storms. He fed 5,000. He did all these, raising Lazarus from the dead. He done a lot of great things, as written about in the Gospels, the four Gospels. And so Luke told Theophilus a lot of things he'd done. So did John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the four that records this man's life. So Jesus, then, this same Jesus, would live to be about a 33-year-old man when they killed him. But before they killed him, I want y'all to understand that he told his apostles that he was going to suffer in Jerusalem. It was in Jerusalem where he cried in the garden to his Father to let that cup of the crucifixion, that painful death, pass him. But don't you know this? He said this, not my will, but your will be done. And that's what we all have to say. It's not about our will when it comes to our soul. We have to do God's will. Jesus had to do his Father's will. He asked him 3 times. The Father did not respond. He sent an angel. So Jesus left that garden, and he stood before Pilate, 6 other trials that night. He was a death row inmate. They took him, and they beat him with a whip. Pilate knew he had no fault. Pilate, John 18, said, I found no fault in the man. He knew he was killing an innocent man. He tried to tell them people in Jerusalem, don't y'all worry about Barabbas. Can't we let him go? Let Jesus go, y'all take Barabbas. No, we want to crucify him. Jesus had to go. He knew he was going to be led as a sheep to the slaughter. This same Jesus, what I'm trying to get y'all to see, is this same Jesus that went up that day is the same Jesus that Isaiah 53 talked about how he'd be led as a sheep to the slaughter before his shears dumb. He would grow up as a tender plant, a root out of dry ground. He had no form of comeliness. We shall see him, for there is no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected a man, this same Jesus, a man of sorrow, this same Jesus, were acquainted with grief, this same Jesus, as we hid our faces from him, this same Jesus was despised, he was esteemed, and they esteemed him not. He was borne our grief, this same Jesus carried our sorrow, this same Jesus was smitten of God, this same Jesus was afflicted, this same Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, this same Jesus was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon this same Jesus, and with this same Jesus' stripes are we healed. What is he talking about there? With the stripes from the whipping. from the whip, the left stripes all over his body, blood came from him. And that's why Isaiah says, by his stripes over here, this same Jesus was ripped apart. Flesh ripped from his bones, left leaving stripes all over his body. This same Jesus had to hang on that cross as oppressed. Same Jesus was afflicted. But y'all know what? He opened out his mouth. That same Jesus brought as a lamb to a slaughter. And before his shears dumb, he would not open his mouth. He would not open his mouth. This is the Jesus I'm talking about. This is the one that went back up in heaven, who hung on that cross with nails in his hands and his feet for us. He stayed on that cross for 6 long hours. Execution by crucifixion. It ought to make all of us cry to think that a father could give his only child and watch him die for us. Isaiah 53:10, it said it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin for us, God, he shall see his seed, the Father did. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper. And verse 11, he said, he shall see the travail of his soul. Jesus went through some pain for suffering for us. This same Jesus died on that cross. And when he died, he took a spear and pierced him in his side, and out came blood and water. And then he took him off that cross, you all, and they buried him in a borrowed tomb, Joseph's new tomb. And they rolled the stone up to it, and they sealed it, popped on the seal it, make it as sure you can. But here's the thing. Early on the first day of the week, the grave was empty. Why? He got up with all power given to him in heaven and earth by the Father. God got him up. We're going to see it was the Father who rose him from the dead. Got him up. And now he sits on the right hand of the Father as our Lord and our Savior. That's called the gospel, what I just talked to you about. The death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And that's what Jesus commanded us to preach, y'all. He ain't commanded us to preach a feel-good message. Make everybody shout and run down the aisle, jumping and flopping on the ground. You ought to be crying. It's like going to a memorial service every Sunday. Why do you think we take the Lord's Supper? It's not because we take it to remind us this is a memorial of the death of God's only Son. That's why we take communion. Jesus said, this you do in remembrance of me. And we extend the invitation. It's not an invitation of emotions and make feel good so you can leave yourself too blessed to be stressed. You've got to be in a state of mourning to know God's Son died for you, and his response is, come unto me. He's saying to you, he's calling you, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Jesus is calling today. He's calling through the gospel message right now, the message that I'm preaching, that he was on that cross. And it was him who said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. See, when you put him on the cross, there's the drawing power. What's going to save a man today? The only people going to be saved are going to be saved when they believe in the God, who the Father who sent their only Son, John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. You got to believe in that Father that he sent. Romans 1:16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it by itself is the power of God and salvation. What is the gospel? The story of the love story of the Father, the Son, death, burial, and resurrection. And it was Jesus who said, greater love than no man it is. And he laid down life. Notice who he says for his friend. So the call to be saved comes from the cross. We got to preach the cross to the saved people. The cross is what draws people. And what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17 is the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness. But notice what he said, unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. What is going to save people today? The preaching of the cross, verse 18. What's going to bring members of the church back that left the church? The preaching of the cross. You walked away from a father who gave his child to hang for you and suffer in Jerusalem, and you turn your back on him. You left the truth. And I put him back on the cross for you to see him. And that'll bring you back home. You come back crying. You come back sad. You come back with repentant hearts saying, I'm sorry I left. And those who want to be saved will come because of the cross. They will come saying, Lord, I want to be saved. I thank you for giving your life for me. Thank you for suffering for me. I didn't deserve it. And then what must I do? He said, believe and be baptized. It is in baptism that your old man is crucified. It's in baptism that you contact the blood of Jesus, Revelation 1, verse 5. It's in baptism when your sins are forgiven, Acts 2 and verse 38, Acts 22, 16. Ananias told Saul, the chief of sinners, arise, why tarryest thou? Be baptized. Notice what he says, wash away your sin, call it in the name of the Lord. Why do they do that? The same Jesus commanded them. The same Jesus I'm talking about, the same Jesus that ascended, the same Jesus that dealt with Peter, James and John, the same Jesus Luke wrote about, the same Jesus that stood there, was hanging on that cross, the same Jesus that stood there that day, and they seen him. And the angel said, that same Jesus that you noticed, that same Jesus, he coming back. And so I'm saying the same thing to you. So if you're on a call this morning, you say, Brother Brooks, I didn't know those things. You know, there was a time when I didn't know. I was in the Baptist church. I thought everybody was saved because they were good people. Well, that's just, the Bible doesn't confirm that. You can't preach that no more. You can't say that. It's just a belief. That's not the truth. Truth is, people have to be baptized to be saved. The truth is, just good people don't go to heaven. I know that because Jesus said it, Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everybody that says to me, Lord, Lord, he said, don't come to heaven, basically. Them that do the will of the Father. The will of the Father is that you obey his son's doctrine or the teaching of the New Testament. So you gotta obey. You gotta obey God. The best being good ain't good enough. You gotta be obedient. That's what we're talking about here today. So if you're on the call, you say, Brother Brooks, I know now I gotta be baptized. I know I should be in the Church of Christ. I know I need to be taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Now you know those things, right? So what you need to do is you need to obey. How you do that? Number one, you got to hear it. Acts 15, verse 7. You hear the word of the gospel and believe. That's number two. Hear and believe right there in that same verse. Number three, you got to repent. Luke 13, 3, Jesus said, I tell your name, but except you repent, you're going to perish. God winked at ignorance at one time, and now he commands all men everywhere to repent. Repentance means you got to make a decision. Like, what is repentance? You're on the call this morning, and you're listening to me, and you say, well, Brother Brooks, I didn't know that. You'll never be able to say that on the day of judgment because you heard me. You heard me. You can't get up there and say to God, I didn't hear him, so ain't no sense trying to lie when you get up there. Because it ain't going to work because you heard it. So you have to repent. You got to stop doing what you're doing. If you left the church, you got to come home. If you're not a member of church, you got to repent of not obeying the truth yet. And be thank God you heard Brother Brooks tell the truth in a simple way. Try to do it where the least educated person can get this. Then there's a number four, there's a confession everybody must make, Acts 8:37. What is that confession? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, here's what you need to know about that. You're going to make that confession either now, before you get baptized, while you live, or you're going to make it on the day of judgment, because every knee will bow, every mouth will confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's going to happen. You're going to do it. You might as well do it while the blood is running warm in your veins. Yeah. Yeah, you just said, Brother Brooks, I want to be saved today. Then you got to be willing to confess your belief before me. And Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, I tell your neighbor, except you, excuse me. He said, if you confess me before me, I confess you before my Father. But if you deny me, I'm going to deny you. That's what he told him. So if everybody's got to make this confession. I'm not ashamed to make that confession. I made that confession. Don't look at me. I said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I sure did. I sure did. I was only 25 years old when I did it too. I won't forget that day. I made that confession. I meant it. I never seen him on the cross. I believe he's the Son of God because of his book. But I also believe he meant what he said when he said, if you deny me, I'm going to deny you. That's what he said. I'm going to deny you. Somebody said, that's tit for tat. You didn't talk to Jesus about that one. He the one said it. So I'm going to confess him. What are you going to confess? What is the confession? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. With the heart, man, believe it. That's in the head. unto righteousness, and confession is made with the mouth. That's Romans 10:10. What confession? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now you've got that. I know you got that. You can't miss this simple truth. Once you do that, you made that confession, we will carry out the command to baptize you. Why? Because that's what Jesus told us to do. That's why. You got to be baptized. That's where it all happens at. Operation of God takes place under the water. You contact the blood, sins are forgiven, then the Lord adds you to the one church, the church of Christ. And there you live faithful. Live faithful even if you require dying. Not until the day you die, but if it requires dying. That's what he meant there. So if you want to call today and you want to be baptized, I'll tell you what, get back with the person who invited you to hear the message this morning from me. If they're members of the church of Christ, they wanted you to hear these truths. We want you to be saved. We speak the truth in love. We're not trying to be mean anymore. We're just trying to say, hey, y'all can play with this thing. COVID taking folk away. But God is making the call. He going to make my call. He going to make your call. One day we all go press the down pillar. My question is, have you obeyed? So here's what I want you to do. If you want to be baptized, you hit 5-star on your phone. We're getting ready to have an invitation prayer. You hit 5-star. Give us your name. We'll make sure we take care of that baptism for you. If you're on the call, you want to come home, you want to repent, you need to say, brothers and sisters, I have sinned, I've been away, I'm coming home today. You can say that with your mouth. What you're doing, you're confessing your fault. Galatians 6:1. If a brother is overtaken in a fault, you or a spirit is trying to restore such a one. I'm trying to restore you back to the fold. You can't just walk back in. You got to repent, and you got to make a confession. Jesus said, if you confess your sins, I'm just to forgive you, 1 John 1. You got to confess your sins. James chapter 5, you confess your fault. So here's what we're saying. I'm talking to those who are not members of the Church of Christ. I'm talking to members of the Church of Christ. So those who are not members, you got to be baptized. Those who are members, you got to confess your fault. Those who are not members, you got to confess you believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God. We have to baptize you. And then the Lord will add you to that one church. Now, if you believe the Bible, you have no problem with anything I just taught. But if you don't read the Bible, you're going to have more problems than you've got now in the judgment. That's for sure. That's for sure. Brothers and sisters, if you have a prayer request, we want you to make that known. By hitting 5-star, we open the call up for you to speak. Or if you want to be baptized, give us your name and tell us that you want to be baptized, and we'll take your confession. We ask you, do you believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God? And you say, I believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God, right here on this call. And then we'll get you to the baptism pool. No matter where you are. And now, if you're a member of the church, you got things going on in your life, that same Jesus, the great physician, the same Jesus is still there for you. He has not left you. He has not forsaken you. You may be going through some things in life, but this same Jesus who died for you is your Lord and your Master. He's on our side, y'all. And we can pray to him. We can pray to him. We can pray to the Father. If you're on the call, you're going through some pain for you. That same Jesus died for you. That same Jesus is there for you. If you need it, whatever you need, you hit 5-star on your phone. After this song, we will honor your request.